If you'd like to open your Bibles to Proverbs, the 5th chapter, Proverbs chapter 5. I'm going to begin reading there this morning. Open your thoughts with some of the ideas that the wise man has for us. He says in verse 1, Proverbs 5 and verse 1, "My son, be attentive to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding, that you may keep discretion, and your lips may guard knowledge. For the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, and her steps follow the path to Sheol. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways wander, and she does not know it. And now, O sons, listen to me, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the merciless, lest strangers take their fill of your strength and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. And at the end of your life, you groan when your flesh and body are consumed, and you say, 'How I hated discipline, and my heart despised reproof. I did not listen to the voice of my teachers or incline my ear to my instructors. I am at the brink of utter ruin in the assembled congregation.' Drink water from your own cistern, flowing water from your own well. Should your springs be scattered abroad, streams of water in the streets? Let them be for yourself alone and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth, a lovely deer and a graceful doe. Let her breast fill you at all times with delight. Be intoxicated always in her love. Why should you be intoxicated, my son, with a forbidden woman, and embrace the bosom of an adulteress? For a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. The iniquities of the wicked ensnare him, and he is held fast in the cords of his sin. He dies for lack of discipline, and because of his great folly, he is led astray." A kind middle-aged woman approached me after a sermon I preached in a meeting a few years back. And she admitted to me right away that she had made a lot of poor choices in her life. In fact, she said she had been in great rebellion to her parents when she was younger. She married a guy that she said she shouldn't have married. And in the process of their marriage and through some of her choices even then, she ruined the influence she had with her children, who at that point had wanted to have nothing to do with her. And when she came to talk to me, she said a few different things. There's a couple things she said to me. One of them was, I wish I would have heard this 30 years ago. Now, the sermon I preached that night was a sermon I've preached here before. You may remember if you were here. I have not much hope that you do, but it was a little bit of an interesting intro, so maybe you remember. It was a sermon about two dogs and the way they act, and it was about raising children. And the one dog is just all over the place and biting people and jumping on things it's not supposed to, and the other dog is well-behaved. And I worked from there to talk about how we discipline dogs and how we train dogs, and then some points parallel with that to raising children. Some things that for parents, I'm a parent, we don't often like to hear. It's not comfortable to hear. But this woman, in her stage in life, when she came to me, she said, "I wish I would have heard that 30 years ago." But then she followed that by this statement, "I wish I would have listened." Now, let me tell you this about that sermon. And those of you who heard it, you know this already. I did not say anything that was new or revolutionary in that sermon. And I guarantee you that this woman, who was brought up going to church in her younger years, I guarantee you, many of the things, aside from personal illustrations and my own phraseology or those sorts of things, many of those things she did hear 30 years ago. The difference was she finally received them. And in doing so, she was very distraught about what she heard and about the situation that she was in. And at that point, things had to go a little bit different direction than where I want to go this morning. And where I went when I thought through this concept, I ended up reading Proverbs 5 not long after that discussion with her. And many of the things I read in that proverb, I know that they're centered on the idea of sexual immorality and some of the dangers that associate with that. And I will focus a little bit on that in this text, but I think we need to understand that this is just one area. This is one area that can lead to very visible and obvious regret. But there are a host of different directions we can go, and sins that we can be a part of, and decisions and poor choices that we can make that will ultimately lead to regret. And what I want us to talk about this morning is trying to live a life of no regrets. If you're a young person here this morning, I want you to listen carefully to some of the things we're going to talk about from Proverbs 5. Because you're at a stage in life right now where you can begin making choices that are going to limit the regrets that you have in life. Some of us who are a little bit older aren't exactly in the same situation as our younger friends here this morning. And we may have some regrets, maybe some very big regrets. And we may have to go the direction that I did in this conversation with this woman, that at some point we have to realize the mistakes have been made and now we're trying to do the best we can from this point forward. But what I want to focus on this morning is what the wise man is trying to help these sons understand. That sometimes things are difficult to grasp when we're younger and some of the decisions that we're making. Sometimes rebellion just seems really fun and doing things our own way and not listening to the wise, not listening to our parents or the elders or Scripture itself even. We kind of want to go our own direction and that seems fun and full of life. But we don't often consider when we do that what's going to happen afterward. The reality is I've had similar reactions over the years to sermons like that and sermons that are similar that deal with the impact of sin, the long-term impact of sin, the way we raise our children, the influence we have as parents. I've had those reactions, maybe not to the same extent as this woman, but very similar. I've also had some reactions, typically from people my age and younger, that are not all that positive about some of those things. Because like I said, we don't like to hear some of that. But I want us to learn the lessons of the wise this morning. And realize that sometimes things that are hard to hear, whether it's coming from someone that's preaching or whether it's coming from Scripture itself, and we're reading something we're not comfortable with and we don't want to believe what it says, but we want to believe the best about our actions. Either way, what we need to understand is these lessons from the wise, that it's very important that we listen to the people who have experience. We listen to the people that have wisdom and life, because one of the biggest problems that the wise man is pointing out is the fact that people don't want to hear. In fact, as this woman admitted herself, she didn't want to hear. She knew what people were saying. She understood what her parents were saying when they were encouraging her not to marry this man. She talked about how people had tried to help her in her decisions in raising her children and in her marriage, and how she had rejected and rebelled against much of what people had told her. And now, looking back over the years, she wished she would have listened. So we're going to talk about avoiding regret, whether it's those of us who are a little bit older or our younger people here this morning and the audience. We have to talk about this first idea, this first concept from Proverbs. Now, Proverbs talks about this a couple different times, but the reality is it's all through this text, starting in Proverbs 1, all the way up through what we just read, is this reality we need to listen to the words of the wise. Sometimes the words of the wise deal with things that aren't even really about sin. In a recent study, the biggest regret older people have is that they worried too much. Well, we can worry to the point that it is sinful. Sometimes it's just worry that distracts us. It takes us out of the important things of life. And so one lady mentioned that she regretted the 3 months that she worried waiting to see if she was going to be laid off at work. I don't know about you, but I don't think I could fault her for worrying about that situation. But in her older years, she realized it didn't really accomplish much, right? Sometimes we have regrets in life. We look back at things and we think about decisions we made or our perspective about life and we realize that was just wasting time. There was nothing accomplished from that kind of behavior. But sometimes regret can come in more serious forms than something like that. Sometimes it can come in the form of ignoring godly wisdom from parents or elders or from Scripture. Sometimes it can come from ignoring scriptural teaching about sexual purity and those sorts of ideas, things about drinking or things about our behavior in general, our ethical behavior. It can come from ignoring all the voices around us who are encouraging to do things the right way, including the voice of Scripture itself. And sometimes that regret is overwhelming. And it could be you feel that this morning. Maybe you've experienced that in the past. If that's the case, you can be like the psalmists who talk about the fact that they will proclaim your truths to the next generation. That's part of what I want to work on this morning as we're talking about this idea of regret. Part of what we're doing is proclaiming these truths, not just from here, but hopefully in the wisdom of the people who are here this morning as we interact with those who are younger. To say, yes, this is reality. As the proverb state, as the wise man talks about, some decisions in life, if we aren't careful, they're going to lead to serious regret. And one of the most important things we can do and commit ourselves to is to be a listener. I really wish I had all the answers. That'd be great. But I just don't. In so many areas of life, Katie's the one who fixes things in our house. I figured out a long time ago that that's not what I need to be trying to do. And if there's something broken or something that's not working and I'm trying to work on it and Katie comes and she has a solution, I'm just going to hand it over to her because she knows more about that than I do. She has that kind of mind. I do not. I like to read books and write papers and those kinds of things. She likes to fix stuff. And so while I would like to have those answers at times, some of the best qualities we can have is realizing things we're not good at and allowing other people to help us with those things. And I'm sure if I spent significant time and worked and worked and worked, I could probably get a lot better at that. But here's the point in that. We have to learn when we need other people's help. We have to learn not to be so stubborn and being willing to listen. And sometimes parents, we don't want to listen much, right? Someone gives us a little piece of advice and we get real negative and we get real defensive. And that's part of what we talked about in that sermon I preached a while back. And while those of you who are older, sometimes we need to give more advice and be willing to do that, some of the reasons they don't do that is because we get so stubborn and defensive when older people do give us advice. Now listen, we know this is true. We don't like to be told, we don't like to be insinuated that we're not doing something just right. Most of my life at this point, I have dealt with criticism. I don't mean that as badly as it sounds. But just follow me with this for a few minutes. When we were fairly young, we went to Southside where I worked with Brother Bowman. And a big part of that whole process is criticizing you every week in a positive way and sometimes a negative way on what you're doing. And learning how to handle feedback. But I'll tell you what I've learned over the years. Not just in preaching or in teaching, but just in life in general, people don't like to be criticized. I don't care how positive the criticism is, how well thought out, how tactful the person is, and how they try to dispense that information, it's very hard to hear. And what I'm telling you this morning is listen. Listen to the words of the wise. And sometimes people are going to tell you things that are just flat out untrue. And you have to be discerning, which the wise man tells us to do as well, to be discerning, to use discernment. Sometimes we just have to let it go and realize that's their perspective. We don't agree with it and move on. But so often we could be helped if we would listen. It may be very much that you have some things you'd like to tell me about my kids and things that we're not doing right. You know what? I need to be willing to hear that. I need to be open to the reality that I need to maybe reshape my thinking at times about how I do something. If I'm not willing to do that, I'm going to make big mistakes in life. And these are too important to make big mistakes with. And so I better be willing to listen, to open my mind to the words of the wise. Notice how important this is in Proverbs. Your Bible is still open here to Proverbs 5. You heard it in Proverbs 5 as we read, and I'll remind you of these two statements that are here. But it's not just in Proverbs 5 that he says this. Proverbs 4 and verse 1, "Hear, O sons, a father's instruction. Be attentive, that you may gain insight. Hear, my son, and accept my words." That's verse 10. Verse 20 of chapter 4, "My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings." Chapter 5 and verse 1, "My son, be attentive to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding." Verse 7, "And now, O sons, listen to me." Chapter 6 and verse 20, "My son, keep your father's commandments and forsake not your mother's teaching." Chapter 7 and verse 1, "My son, keep your words and treasure up my commandments within you. Keep my commandments and live. Keep my teaching as the apple of your eye." Just over and over and over again. It kind of reminds me of being a parent. Right? Listen. Listen to what I'm telling you. Right? We've been through life a little bit. We try to tell our kids, right? You know, we've lived for 35, 40, 45 years. We have some experiences. We've done some things. Listen to what I'm telling you. That's what the wise man is saying here over and over and over again. Not much different than what it's like to be a parent. He's speaking here to his sons. Listen to me. He desperately wants them to understand this idea. And this is not just for preteens, teenagers. Some of us who are a little bit older, whose parents are still trying to guide us. And they are. My mom is still trying to guide me at times. I pick up on some of the subtle statements that she makes. I'm 35, and she's still trying to guide me, and that's the way it ought to be. If you're 35 and your parent is still out there trying to help you, listen. Be attentive. That's what the wise man is saying here. Listen to the wisdom of people who want to help you. They have your best interest in mind. Who loves you more than your parents? I only know of one good answer to that in general, in most situations, and that is God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Besides them, your parents love you unconditionally. And when they're giving us wisdom, sometimes they may be wrong. I mean, we have to realize that. But the reality is when they give us insight and wisdom, it's for our good. That's their goal. That's what they're trying to accomplish. And I realize they're human, and sometimes they might not have the right answers. Sometimes they don't understand the full situation. But before we cast all that off, we need to start at the place of listening, heeding the advice. They've been through some things. And those of you who are still living with your parents, and working through that dynamic, understand the importance of listening. Maybe they don't understand all the cool and hip lingo. That's probably not cool and hip, I understand. They don't know all the words you use and phrases, and maybe they don't understand the style of dress and all those sorts of things. That very much may be true. But they have some very important wisdom to share with you. That goes beyond all the superficial things, like dress and lingo. Things that are going to help you for the rest of your life. Because they understand this next point, and that is the importance of discipline. Those of us who are older, and often we don't share this maybe openly enough, we see the impact of not being disciplined in certain areas of life. Often our areas of weakness, now for years, we've been trying to get better. We've been trying to improve because maybe there wasn't discipline in a certain area in our life before, and so now we're trying to regain that discipline. And you have the opportunity now when you're young to begin that process. Do not overlook the importance of being disciplined, having self-control. Here he says, keep discretion. Make good judgments. Judge rightly. Not only that, guard knowledge. The things you've listened to, the things you've heard from people who are wise, whether it's a parent or an elder, guard that information. Hold it close. Make good decisions with it. Use that discernment as you're guarding that knowledge. And be careful of the decisions you're making. This is what he's saying here, and we get down to verse 8. Keep your way far from her. Yes, here he's talking about the adulteress, the one who's trying to kind of rope this young man in. But the reality is this can fit in many different situations and many different type of temptations. Keep away from it. There's going to be times when we can't avoid it. There's going to be situations we find ourselves in temptation and we've got to say no in that situation. But why would we ever try to get close to it? That's the point he's making here about this woman to his son. Why would you ever want to get near her door or get yourself into this situation where now you've got to say no when you really don't want to say no because it's tempting? Think ahead. Use good discernment. Be disciplined. I think the section that caught my mind the most after I had this discussion with this woman was the passage beginning in verse 11. Because although the circumstance is a little bit different, the concept is very much the same. As she was growing older and realizing the choices that she had made in life and some of the results of those, I couldn't help but think of this situation a few weeks later as I came across Proverbs 5. In verse 11, it says, "And at the end of your life you groan, and your flesh and body are consumed, and you say, 'How I hated discipline, and my heart despised reproof. I did not listen to the voice of my teachers or incline my ear to my instructors, I am at the brink of utter ruin in the assembled congregation. I don't consider myself to be very old yet. But I am old enough at this point that I've seen someone making choices at a young age that have now impacted them greatly as they've gotten older. Things that seemed maybe fun when they were 16, 17, the friends they hung around, the things they did that maybe seemed innocent to them, just having a little fun, just doing things their parents might not approve, just a little bit of rebellion, and now where that has progressed in their life years later. And I wonder, since I'm not old enough to be to this point yet, I wonder if their perspective is going to be like this, we just read in Proverbs 5:11 and following. It seems so great at the time, but as they grow older and they see the situation they put themselves in, they say, how I hated discipline. How my heart despised reproof. If I could just go back and do things differently now, if I could just not be around these kinds of people who got me into this kind of trouble, whatever that trouble might be. And now maybe they're in a situation that seems they can't recover from. For this woman, it was trying to guide her children now. She had lost her influence because of some of the things she had done when they were young. And so the whole point now, as we were talking about, is you've got to find a way to regain your influence, doing things the right way so that over time you can influence them to go the right direction. That's the choice you have now. But as much as we have opportunity now, we can try to avoid living with that kind of regret. It may be where you are, and if that's where you are, you have to live from this point forward and try to change it. But learn the lessons of the past. See the regret of the people who have made these choices, and now this father has seen this. He has seen this before, and he's trying to warn his sons. This is the direction it goes. If someone gets to this point in life, they thought they were doing what was fun, what was going to be great in life, and yet they get to this point where now they regret the fact that they weren't disciplined. They weren't controlled. They didn't use discernment. They didn't guard the knowledge that was given to them, and it was given to them. They might say, I wish I would have heard this 30 years ago, but the reality is they did, and they just didn't listen because they didn't guard knowledge, as the wise man tells them they should. So they have to try to recover from this regret. And even worse than that, in the statement of this fictitious character that the father is talking about, I think he portrays what is so often true. What begins as kind of this private, secretive thing, maybe you're rebelling against your parents, doing things with friends that other people don't know about, making these choices that we don't think are going to harm us or harm other people, which we'll come back to here in just a minute. But in the end, he says, I am at the brink of utter ruin, not just my internal struggle, not just in my mind, not just in my financial situation, my health, but in the assembled congregation that is now public. What seemed innocent before. Now everybody knows. And that is a very thing to recover, hard thing to recover from. Now, grace be to God, through Jesus Christ, we can. And we're going to head there. But at least internally in our mind, that is extremely hard. When we know what people know. Because of some of the choices that we've made, things that we never imagined we would do, likely, or that people would learn about us. And so the final thought about how we're going to avoid regret is to be very careful about how we think about ourselves. Listen to the words of the wise and realize the importance of discipline. And maybe think of discipline as teaching. That's really the idea. It's not just punishment. It is the idea of instruction and teaching that we need to keep and that we need to guard, that we need to think about carefully and use good judgment with. But then finally, we need to have humility in our thought and not think, well, that's just not going to be me. Maybe we read some of these stories in Scripture. Maybe it's the prodigal son. I mean, we see how he takes his father's inheritance and he runs off and we think, I would never be like that. Or maybe more real life situations, things that we see and we encounter from day to day, about maybe the way people behave toward their parents, whether it's within our congregation or outside, people we know at work, or whatever it might be, or within marriages, and think, well, man, I would just never be that way. On one sense, I understand. We need to have an attitude where we want to do the will of God, and we don't want to behave that way. But we better be careful about haughtiness and pride and thinking, I'll never go this direction, because that is the point in which we're going to be led into temptation, and we're going to give in to desire, and we're going to do things we shouldn't do. Don't think that won't be me. Guard knowledge. Use discernment. Be careful. I have to be careful about the way I think. And realize, you know, it could be me who's at the brink of utter ruin in the assembled congregation if I make poor choices. If I'm not careful about the kinds of things that are being said here in Proverbs 5 and some of the surrounding Proverbs. If I don't listen to the words of my parents, to the words of elders, to the words of Scripture in sermons and in Bible classes, if I ignore that kind of stuff and I feel like I'm just going to be okay and I have the answers from life and everything's going to be all right and it's not going to be as bad as other people always say, it's not going to destroy me or hurt my influence, it's not going to ruin my life, I'll know when to stop, it's all going to be fine if we begin to think that. We're in a perfect situation for it to be us that goes down this road that leads to utter destruction. He says, keep your way far from her. Do not go near her. I've heard so many times in life, especially as pertains to choosing friends and who our friends are going to be, that I'm going to influence them. Be very, very careful. I hope that you do. But what I have seen a majority of the time is that they influence you. That's very generalized, and I understand that. And we may imagine we're extremely strong. We like to think we're very, very strong. But the devil's very, very strong as well. And when we begin to underestimate his power, and underestimate the power of temptation and desire, when we begin to go near her and near her door because we think we're strong enough, danger is lurking nearby. It's one of those tensions, one of those paradoxes in Scripture, right? We need to be faithful. We need to have the faith in the belief in God that we can overcome. At the same time, we don't need to make poor decisions and use bad judgment to put ourselves in situations in which we're going to be tempted, in which we're going to have desires. That is a bad idea. And the Proverbs themselves speak a lot about how we choose our friends. And I realize we are to be a light to the world, and we need to influence the people who are around us in a very positive way. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't be using good judgment and who we allow to be in our life in a very intimate way, a close friendship, the people we spend our time with, because it will have a major impact in our life. I don't want you, especially the younger people here, as you're progressing this direction, I don't want you to be the middle-aged person one day who is filled with regret coming to a preacher or to an elder because you were unwilling to listen. You weren't willing to use discernment and be disciplined in life. You rebelled and you made poor choices. And so now you're in a mess, because that's what sin does. Sin creates messes. Messes that are complex, difficult to get out of, situations that any elder and most preachers who have dealt with some of these situations will tell you make everyone in the situation look bad. There's no winner in any of these situations. Someone who's has a mess of a life, and they're going through difficulty, and now the elders are going to try to help them, and it's just, it never comes out good. People are going to think the elders didn't do it right. The situation wasn't handled right. The parents didn't handle the situation right. The siblings didn't handle it right. That's the mess that sin creates, and it is sin that creates that mess. Let us never forget that. And so before we start casting blame on people, we better remember that the fault is with sin. And the road that was taken to sin that created that scenario. I don't want any of our young friends mixed up in that in 20, 30 years. But if you're there now, maybe you do have difficulty in your life and struggle. You realize you've made poor decisions. I don't want us to leave here this morning without realizing there's an answer. I'm not saying all of the consequences of those decisions are just going to evaporate and go away. But the power of the gospel is that God is gracious and merciful to forgive. And that you can come and you can fall at his feet and you can beg for mercy and grace and he will extend it to you. You may have made horrible choices, terrible decisions that have created conflict and difficulty in your life and the lives of others, but if you're willing to come back and pour out your heart before the Lord, he will forgive. If we confess our sins, John says, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a powerful statement. You can have a mess of a marriage. You can have division in your family. You can have all kinds of problems that you're facing right now, and you can come and you can confess your sins to the Lord, and he will forgive you. Maybe you're not in Christ this morning. Maybe you haven't given your life to him. You have that same opportunity. Maybe you're new to a lot of this and you don't understand the full message. And if that's the case, you can talk to me later or you talk to someone else here that can give you more information about Scripture and what you can do to follow the will of God. But here's the short version of that. If you have sin in your life and you know it, and you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, he will forgive you. You bring your life to him and you're baptized. And do away with the old man. You put away the man of sin and you come up out of the water in newness of life. You're a new creature, a new creation. You can now live for the glory of the Father instead of for the glory of the world. You can change your life forever. And I can't promise you that you're going to get your kids back or that you're going to get your marriage back or it's going to fix all the problems in this world, but this one thing it will do, it'll make you with God. And you can have the peace that comes from having been justified by faith. Can we help you do that this morning? Will you give your life to him? Why don't you come now as we stand and we sing together?
Have you all?